In this workshop, one of the things that we'll be learning, and to some extent, each of us to different extents, will be walking away with these practices permanently embodied in our body. Others of us won't, will be too afraid to. It's just a matter of how fearful you are. You'll be able to leave this workshop with the specific techniques enough in you that you can open in love with virtually anyone, and you can play the sexual flow with virtually anyone. So the choice of an intimate partner comes down to who do you want to make the commitment to evolve with. So you say, I want to serve you, you will serve me, we will serve each other in a way that we can't do it alone, and you make that commitment, and that becomes the basis of an intimate partnership, that commitment, which eliminates being with other people because you're attracted to them sexually, because you're attracted to them because they have money, because you're attracted to them because you're drunk and they have a nice ass or something, you know. I mean, if you're guided by what serves your practice the deepest, that's a very, very clear force of guidance. You might not have had that core of guidance to direct your relationships in the past, and then, you know, I've seen women have more sexual relationships with their refrigerators than their husbands. You know, I've seen men just, you know, fuck their babysitters. It doesn't matter. I mean, sex is sex. We're like universal sexual beings. We just, you know, some people see a horse and they want to get laid. Some people see, you know, a flower and they get turned on. You know, some people get turned on by water. You know, just being near a body of water, they'll fuck just about anybody. You know, the tropics themselves are so full of feminine energy that, you know, if you lived in Alaska, you know, just the idea of, you know where Alaska is? the way the tropics are making more sexual anyways, just because of the heat in the body, and we'll learn about all this energy stuff. But so sexuality is just a universal thing, and we're going to be learning, instead of normal culture, which is kind of suppressing it and flirting a little bit, but not all the way and so forth, and instead of exploiting it, you know, just having like big orgies where everyone just does everything they want to do, we'll be learning really delicate ways of how to open people's hearts by using sexual energy, so then when you're with your chosen intimate partner, you know how to do it. Now, we'll be changing partners a lot, which is one reason we need to be very formal here and not hit on anybody, because we're just using each other to practice with. Now, those people who are here with their intimate partners, they have so many patterns between them already that the possibility of them succeeding at any specific exercise is close to zero, because as soon as one of them does something, they go, you always do that, you know, and all, you know, 20 years of patterns are there to, so they'll be able to practice with all these people and go, yes, I know how to do it, yes, I know how to do it, yes, I know how to do it. Then they get to their intimate part and they go, why is it so difficult? But I know how to do it, you know, because they've practiced it with 10 other people. So it gives people who have an intimate partner a chance to practice with many other people, so that when they come to their intimate partner, whether they're here in the group or whether they're at home or whether they're in the future, they have the skills and know how to do it. So what's important in all of these is that, again, we'll be doing them in a moment, but you will, if you practice these properly, you will open deeper with people here and sexually deeper with people here than you possibly have ever opened in your life. And you will do it with many people here. And if you confuse sexual attraction and heart openness with a reason to have an intimate relationship, you're going to be in deep trouble, because you'll have an intimate relationship. You know, you'll walk out of here going, well, I want all of them, you know. The big difference is, who do you want to spend the rest of your life practicing this with? Who do you want to go the deep, you know, who are you willing to let go, I commit to serving you and you commit to serving me until it's absolutely obvious we cannot serve each other anymore? And that is an intimate commitment, you know, an intimate relationship commitment. Other than that, you're just wasting your life in relationships. You're just literally wasting the depth of your being in relationships that don't serve the depth of your being. So any relationship that you're in that isn't with somebody who is in the commitment with you to serve the depth of your being is a wasted moment, because you're less than you could be. Now, obviously, if you aren't with a partner, there's a kind of dating phase where you meet someone and you're not quite sure if they're the one, but you give it some time and you meet them and so forth. But that wouldn't take more than whatever, several months, probably in most people's cases, to go, You know, there's all these patterns we're going to have to deal with, but they're committed to practicing love. I'm committed to practicing love, and I want to make this commitment. Now, after you make that commitment, there's still going to be people you're more attracted to sexually, people who are whatever, you know, but would leaving this person and going to that person deepen the spiritual practice of you and everyone involved? If so, it's a valid change of relationships. If not, you're absolutely full of shit, and you're making a decision based on something less than your depth of being. So you get your close friends around, and you say, I've been with this woman, and now I'm thinking of being with this woman. Does that feel it would open everyone's hearts, the three of you, but then the rest of the universe, more, you know, to go, would it open hearts more to go to this new woman and be with her or to stay? And usually the answer is pretty clear. And as you know, it makes no difference. Like, you go to this woman and in a year it's the same thing. Now you're ready for, you know, it's like, well, the fun's worn off of that, and you're just facing some patterns and keep doing that forever and never grow deeper. So who you choose as an intimate partner is really based on who serves your and whose spiritual growth can you serve the most. And then you commit to that practice until it's totally obvious to everyone that being in a different kind of relationship would serve both of you and everyone else, which is sometimes family or friends or community, everyone else involved, more to change relationships. And only then would you change a relationship. You would never change a relationship based on personal preference, because of course if you're in a good relationship, the worst hellish stuff that you're ever going to face is going to come up. Because if you're really practicing well, every nook and cranny of your hiding less than love, you're not consciously, but you have unconscious kinks that are less than love. And if your partner's a great partner, they're going to bring that kink out. And you're going to be sitting there going, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm dying inside. I feel like I'm just banging my head against the wall. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. She hates me. I hate her. Or I'm evolved, but she's not evolved, or something. I mean, there's so much. But you're going to feel bad because it's a good relationship, because love is starting to seep into the places you've been able to hide from yourself, from who you are love. And there's been places that are still so kinked up that we're just unaware of them, many of which I will purposely try to expose this weekend. And in a 10-day, you can go further because we'll have more time to develop it. But you will feel them here, and you will get instant feedback, and it's going to be excruciating at moments. Like, you'll be doing something, I'll just say, ladies, make a sound that it feels like what he's doing, and I'll go, ugh! And you'll be going, what the hell, I'm just sitting here, because you won't know you're doing it. You won't know you're being a jerk. You won't know that you're being unloving. You just won't know it. You've never been shown it. You have no way to sense it. No one's ever reflected it to you. This habit's been on in there probably since you were 2 years old. It's like, you know, you're not aware right now of the weight of your butt on the chair just because you're not paying attention to it. But if I could point your attention to it, you suddenly feel the weight of your butt, you know? And so we're going to draw attention to the things that are less than love. And suddenly you're going to notice about yourself, and if you're in a relationship, about your relationship, all these things that are less than love. And that hurts. It's scary. It's repulsive. And it comes down to a choice. Am I ready to let go of all of those patterns and be willing to live as love? Or do I prefer the comfort, the familiarity of those patterns? 99.9% of people choose the patterns. Just the way it is. And, you know, that's not a... We're here as these patterns because we prefer the patterns. You know, that's... So... This is like a school for people who are ready to be done with patterns, which is very few people, really. Or we wouldn't have been born as people. You know, we would have been born as whatever pattern we were needed to feel or attached to or whatever word you want to use for that. So you're going to see the part of your pattern that is less than love, that is actually creating hurt in others because you're acting out of less than love. And your choice in intimate partners needs to be based on something deeper than how you feel. because you're going to feel bad with the best possible intimate partner a lot of the time, especially for the first 20 years or something.
But what if the commitment is not the same on both sides? Like she keeps running away.
Yeah, but if you were strong in your masculine essence, that would be that. She'd run away, you'd grab her, pull her back. That's that. See, there's your pattern right there. That's it. There's the first one for you. Feel it? You start, you're frowning, you're going like this, you're going, Your whole body contracts, you're not breathing. Okay, can you feel that moment? So there's the first pattern. I mean, we haven't even started, god dang it, but here we are. There's your first pattern. For why wouldn't you just yank her back and insist that she spend the rest of her life with you? Look at the face. I wish you could see him. He's like, oh. And again, I mean, it's just the way it is. This is a pattern, and we'll explore it briefly, and then we'll do the exercises. So why wouldn't you just say, come back? I mean, if you've chosen her to open her heart to God, and she's running, and you know you can open her heart to God, then you owe it to her to keep her with you so you could open her to God. Why would you let someone be less than they could be if you loved them? I talk about three stages. I'm going to mention them now so everyone understands them, especially the people who haven't been here when I talked about them. In the first stage, you're in the intimate relationship for yourself. So it's like, I want sex, I want money. As long as I'm getting those things, I'll stay. When they stop flowing, I'm leaving. Okay. When you go into the second stage relationship or second stage moment, which is what you're describing, that's why I'm talking about this, is you begin to become a whole person. You're not dependent on anyone anymore. You do that by balancing your internal masculine and feminine, which we'll do exercises with later. And you're a whole independent person, and then you attract whole independent people. So you're with these women who can be with you or not be with you. And you could be with them or not be with them. And at that level of relationship and that level of being, it's a kind of religious axiom that like you have your reality and she has her reality and you need to respect both realities, but they're separate. And I don't know, there's a spiritual teacher who I won't mention by name. I think almost all of you know who I'm talking about, but there's this spiritual teacher who uses saying, I think there's your reality, there's her reality, and there's God's reality or something like that. Well, that's a perfect second stage pronouncement. Okay, so if you're actually feeling like, well, I don't really have any business interfering in this person's life, you're in a second stage moment, which is often very useful. It's a lot more than actually being dependent on them or them being dependent on you, because that never works, we know that. So it's better to just let them be, let them go, and do what they need to do. Eventually, if you open deep enough, you realize that you are the one living in her body. There is no separation. It is not true that there's your reality and her reality and another reality. There simply is love. When you're rested open as that, the one you choose as your intimate partner, you are as responsible for her body, her mind, her opening to God, as you are responsible for that body's opening to God. They are... In fact, the feeling is you're responsible for everyone's opening to God because you are, this is you. This entire moment is arising as you. And so, I mean, I couldn't possibly serve you if I didn't feel that. I'd be back here going like, I'm back here, he's over there, am I allowed, you know. What I do is I just rest open, feel whatever love arising through both of our bodies, feel the kinks that are preventing that love from being totally free, and addressing them in various ways that right now are verbal, but in moments will be other than. And so I'm essentially marrying all of you for this weekend. So I'm making that commitment. Now, it's you who's going to put the limit on that commitment more likely. I mean, I'd be very pleased if it was me, and we'll find out. You know, may this be the weekend where I am the limit of the weekend. But I'm going to marry you for this weekend. That is, I'm not going to fucking let you be less than love. Now, there'll come a point where it's just violent to try to get you to go any farther. I mean, you're doing your best. So I have compassion for the fact that you and I both have our limits as being open as love. We haven't gotten there yet for either of us. But So here's this pattern in you that's kind of, you know, she leaves, and what is? I don't have the business to, like, interfere in her life. That's kind of what you're saying, right? To intervene in her life. If she wants to leave, it's arrogant, I think is the word you use, to think I could. So that's a second stage pattern that I just want to bring up with you. I think it's a very loose one. You'll drop it in a few seconds. That's why I'm going into it with you. I don't think it's your limit. You're not allowed to freak out and fall apart or something. 5 minutes. So, I'm just kidding. The third stage, then, is I am... How do I say this? You have purchased a third stage relationship with me for the duration of this weekend. You could put a limit on it if you need to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to let you run like you let your girlfriend run. That's what I'm here for. Now, you're not going to like it a lot of the times. And you will see an example of how to deal with someone while they're not liking being pinned down to open as love. There's an extreme value in that, and it's extremely uncomfortable, both at times. Sometimes it's incredibly blissful because you open greater than you've opened before, and you go, my God, I could have always been this way. Wow. And but sometimes you're struggling with the issue. So what would happen if you just said that you never touched another woman sexually unless you had already determined that you can open her heart to God deeper than she can herself, which is the only reason to ever be with a woman, from a third stage perspective. Otherwise, the world would be better off with you being celibate if you can't open them to God further than they're doing themselves, right? I mean, what if your purpose on earth was to offer love, was to open this place deeper in love, why would you actually intervene at all in someone's life, even with a kiss, if you couldn't open them to God further than they were already open? So in a third stage relationship, you feel, I'm committing myself to opening this woman to God. Is she going to like it? Sometimes, not usually. Is she going to, in your case, you know, like this woman, is she going to run? Yes. When she runs, what are you going to do? Whatever opens her the most. And opens her deeply, which means you might grab her and pull her back, so to speak, and she might be fighting it, and you have to feel in her heart, is this the process to open her deeply, or do you need to let her go and let her do whatever she wants to do? Now, the second stage just assumes you have no right to do that, that she has her business and you have your business. The third stage is, this is your business. There's only one business. This. I don't know how to... It's hard to use words, but this, you know? This is it. This is all that's ever going on. And we're either failing or succeeding or loving or not loving. But this is all that's happening, the working out of love in the form of these bodies. So I would say to you right now, before we start any practices, are you willing to commit to never being sexual with a woman again unless you know you can open her farther than she could open herself? Like waiting till you know that. Like you take her out and you feel, you know, by making love with this woman, I know, I could feel that I could relax her body open, I could open her heart deeper, I could show her a deeper love than she's feeling right now. Okay? So that hesitation is a pattern. I mean, if you were actually committed to living as love, why would you want to live as less than love? So I just want you to feel that this in this moment, that you want an out. I'm not willing to commit totally to love. Sometimes I just want to get laid or whatever. I mean, why wouldn't you just say, of course, I don't want to make love with somebody unless I could open them to God farther than they're already opening? Why isn't that just obvious?
Somehow it just sounds very stupid to say that I will wait for someone who...
No, not wait. Find them. Find them, yeah. I'm going to find a woman who I could open to God farther than she's opening herself and who wants to join me in relationship in that commitment, and then we're going to practice together. Opening each other to God, to infinity. The relationship is a conscious choice. Nothing, it's not, it doesn't grow like a wart or something. I mean, a relationship is you just choose to, it's a commitment. It's like I've committed this weekend with you. It just doesn't happen. I have to fly here, make plans, set this whole thing up. There's a whole bunch of people working on it to set it up. You have to come here. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that contribute to our commitment. We are committed here for a weekend. That's a relationship. In this case, it has a beginning and an end, clearly defined in time. An intimate relationship usually doesn't have an end defined in time except the failure to continue growing after practice, and everyone agrees that you've done everything you can do. That second part's important because the masculine always leaves relationships too soon and the feminine always stays in them too long. Because the masculine's value is freedom, the feminine's value is love. So the feminine always goes, well, one day he'll get it, I'll teach him, you know, or he'll only learn this. And so they stay too long. The masculine just goes, ouch, bye. But I think watch this. Let's see if this works or not, okay? Raise your hand if you feel this is as far as we're going to go with this guy right now. Okay, look around. Okay, what that means, and I just want to show you, it's not like between me and you. It could be in moments. It could just be my projection moments. That's why I'll ask for the raise of hands. We are one love coming through all these bodies. And when virtually everyone in this room agrees on something, like that you're in a pattern right now and you're not about ready to let it go, it becomes a waste of time to continue. It's not that I don't love you as much or that I'm unwilling to continue working. There's a palpable feeling that you have come to an edge that it might change in the next 5 minutes, but at this moment it's feeling like a waste of time, and everyone can feel it. So everyone begins to feel like, okay, this is a waste of time. I don't know if that's exactly how they feel, but you know what I'm talking about, right? So now, if they could feel that now, imagine how women who are out with you can feel it, man. Ooh. I would run, you know? Like you're talking about your ladies leaving. So we'll stop there, but just notice that this whole room as one being can feel that you've come to a place where you're willing to love and feel but not quite willing to let go of yet, and that's fine. I mean, we're all going to feel that at different moments and respect that in each other, but where you're also invited to let go of that whenever you want to. I'll be providing contexts for you to do that. Okay, any other questions before we begin some exercises? Yes.
Will this workshop apply to same-sex relationships?
Yes, in same-sex relationships, well, let me put it this way. In 90% of all relationships, same-sex as well as homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, polygamous, monogamous, in 90% of all relationships, there's a more masculine partner and a more feminine partner. And everything we do will apply to those kinds of relationships. In 10% of relationships, roughly, the people are both of perfectly balanced sexual essence, which means they don't want to play the masculine and feminine play. That is, what turns them on the most, if they were to arm wrestle, is that no one wins. That would actually physically turn them on the most, that they're totally evenly matched in that way. Same relative size, same interests. No one like takes the other person or is taken by the other person because that's just not interesting to a balanced essence person. Balanced essence person is more interested in deep loving friendship than any passion, that play of masculine and feminine passion. So a lot of what we talk about in terms of masculine and feminine won't be as applicable in those 10% of relationships, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever, it doesn't matter, that are between balanced essence people. It applies mostly, the masculine, feminine, the love part applies to everybody, which is the fundamental thing we're doing here. But the masculine, feminine gifts and talents that we're going to learn apply to relationships where they enjoy the play of masculine and feminine. Now, sometimes, if they're really close to balance, they enjoy trading off that play. So it's like, tonight you play the feminine, I'll play the masculine. Tomorrow you play the masculine, I play the... Or hour by hour, moment, or like for 5 minutes, you know, I'm on top. Or, you know, I mean, that play could be changed, and still, these are the skills you would need to make that play full and unencumbered by patterns and a transmission of love. So this, we're going to, just because most people here are probably heterosexual, and I've worked with non-heterosexual, I've worked with like every kind of group you can imagine, but I'm going to assume most people are heterosexual here, so the way I'm going to set it up is that sometimes we'll be facing men and women, facing each other and stuff like that, and but there'll be times also where there's two women facing each other and two men facing each other, and all of these can be practiced. So Like every woman here will get a chance of playing the masculine with another woman as well as with another man, and you'll just know how to play it with everybody. Because it's important, even with your children, to know how to play the masculine and feminine at different moments. You know, if father's not around, but masculine energy is needed. And so to be free in the whole flow, and then you can choose how and where and with whom you want to really play it.
I was in relationship with a man, and he suddenly just left and disappeared. And I'm wondering if there was something I could have done to prevent that situation.
How? I don't know what happened back then. Certainly, there are karmas that are beyond personal preference, you know, that bring people together and apart. I mean, we're all part of a huge pattern that is much larger than any one of us can see. So I don't know if you ended up pushing him away or closed in a certain way or repelled him in a certain way or if it was just his choice or whether he was closed or whether it was natural and a perfect thing to happen. I have no idea. But you would have been able to feel it in the moment. Were you both wide open at heart when he left? Was he? Well, I'm not asking you what you assume. So that already, if you can't feel how his heart is, he should leave you. I mean, if you have to assume how his heart is, if you can't actually feel his heart opening and closing, which is what we're going to be learning this weekend in part, literally, how do you feel people's hearts opening and closing, you know, to gauge how open someone is? Well, I mean, that's what service is in love. To be able to feel that is an essential part of it. So if you really, and I don't know if you're just kind of casually speaking in a certain way, but if you actually couldn't, if you have to assume something, if you couldn't feel whether his heart was open, that means you weren't feeling his heart. And if you weren't feeling his heart, there's already no relationship there. Now, I don't know what actually happened in all the other influences, but you can feel his heart and offer him your heart. For you specifically need to feel his heart completely. You actually, because you're a feminine being, have a deeper capability to feel his heart than he does. He will think he's open, and you will feel him closed a lot of the time. Do you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. I just want to see if... Okay, good. I mean, that's the way it is. The feminine is much more sensitive to the flow of love than the masculine. The masculine is much more sensitive to the depth of consciousness than the feminine, so that's his gift to you. But the gift you have to him is whether his heart is open and flowing with love with you. And he'll say, it is. I'm wide open and flowing in love with you. And to you, it'll be so obvious that he's not. And, you know, if you believe in the masculine value sphere because we have such a masculine world, you'll begin to have self-doubt about yourself. Like, well, maybe he is loving me and I can't feel it. Or maybe it's my projection or closure that's not letting, you know. But basically, as a feminine person, 90% of the time, you might also be adding your projection, but you're feeling his heart much more sensitively than he is. And that's something you need to trust. Just like this guy needs to learn to trust that he has a gift of depth of consciousness, that it's his obligation to give to his woman. And if she runs, it's his obligation to keep her there long enough so she has the option of receiving this gift of consciousness. And, you know, eventually it might be appropriate to let go. But not just like, okay, bye, you know, you're leaving. Well, in the same way, your obligation is to offer him the expression of the pain or joy you're feeling because his heart is connected with yours. And don't worry if it's your projection or not. Just offer him the gift of... See, this is the second stage thing. It's so pervasive. It's so hard to cut through. If I had a big sword... you are more sensitive to his heart than he is. That's the third stage fact between masculine and feminine people. It is not that he has his reality and you have your reality and that you will never have access to his reality. That is absolutely true in second stage people because they are not willing to feel beyond themselves. But just like this entire room could feel that this guy was at his limit, right? Everyone raised their hand virtually. One or two people did. I don't know if it was because they were lazy. But I mean, virtually everyone raised their hand. Does that mean that all of us are projecting the exact same thing onto this guy? I doubt it. I mean, we have no edge on it. There'd be no reason to do that. We have no history to do that. We were feeling his heart up against its edge, unwilling to go further. And immediately in our bodies, we felt like, okay, let's move on. Yes? That was an absolute clear feeling. It is your business. It is not your business and this person's business. That is your business. You can feel their reality. It is not their reality. It is just what is. And the more open you are, the more every part of them it is. I mean, in some of my training that I've been given by my teachers, I had to learn how to feel like when I'm with a woman, like if her left toe has more energy in it than her right toe, at the same time of feeling which part of her lung had more air in it and which part of her stomach needed to loosen to move energy a certain way, and how, where exactly in my mouth does my tongue need to be so my energy could move in a certain way so she would open, all well, shit-faced drunk and people are punching me, and my wife is fucking someone else 5 feet away from me. I mean, it was just like, okay, you do it, and then you can do it. And now, so walking in here, this is like, you know, strawberry shortcake or something. I mean, you're like, you know, feeling this guy's kink in the midst of just a simple thing like this, or feeling my woman's kink in the midst of an argument after something like that, is, you know, just like, I can open her, you know, because not only, there's no one, you know, the monsters aren't out too, sometimes they're. So, you are utterly responsible. In a third stage, this is a choice, first, second, and third stage, they're commitments. You could say, I'm with you because you're supporting me financially. That's a first stage commitment. I need your money, so I'm with you. Second stage commitment is, I have my life, you have your life, they're separate lives, and we're both doing our best to open as God, and we'll try to share, but we also have our separate lives. And you're the famous saying at the second stage is like, you're responsible for your own happiness. I'm not responsible for your happiness, is how it's often said. You know, like, I'm not responsible for your happiness. I have to remember that, because it brings me pain if I try to help him, and you know, because he's got his responsibility and I've got mine. And at the second stage, that is true. That's a perceptual fact that he has his reality and you have yours. That it's not that that's false. When you're at the second stage, that's a true perception. Because you're stuck in your reality and your patterns. They're stuck in their patterns and you can't do anything about it. The only time that is no longer true is when you're feeling the love that's washing through all the patterns that you actually are. Then you stand as that love, and there's just two patterns there. You're responsible for every pattern equally. Your life is the giving of love to all patterns. You are not one pattern facing another pattern with separate realities. You are the love that is all patterns, that's flowing amidst as all patterns. And you are absolutely responsible for every being, ultimately, but let's just look at two. So your responsibility is, I am not going to retract my heart from you, even if you're being an asshole. I am going to fill you with so much love, you have no choice but to feel this love or run. I am not retracting my love. I will not close my heart. I will not let you be less than you are. Now, sometimes that means you violently grabbing him by his hair and saying, you know, shut the fuck up, I love you. And sometimes that means sensitively begging him. And sometimes that means embracing him. And sometimes that means just sitting down and having a civilized conversation. The form of it changes. We're going to go through all of those forms as many as we can this weekend. We are now. So that capacity to open as love in the midst of the patterns is a third stage capacity. In this moment, there's a kind of frozenness in your body, you're hardly breathing, you have a kind of sallow look on your face, you're remembering this relationship, and in that place, it's better to let him be responsible for his life and you to be responsible for your life, because he does have his own reality and you have your own reality. Unless you can actually feel him right now as the same love that you are, he has a separate reality. But if you can feel him, can you remember him? Okay. Can you feel him, his heart right now, what his heart felt like? So you have a separate reality. So this is a second stage moment for you, and nothing I say is going to make a difference, and that's why she, because we're all one body, is going like, let's move on, because she can feel an It doesn't matter what you say right now. You're in a second stage moment. We're going to move on, so it's not to waste time. You could be our meter, you know, if you'd like to be for the rest of the workshop. You know, I might not listen to you all of the time because people need a little more compassion than that, but that's good. That, you know, you were feeling like, you know, So why wouldn't this guy leave? Again, I mean, why wouldn't a woman run from a man who's like, yeah, I'm not sure, you know, and why wouldn't a man run from a woman who can't feel his heart? Can you feel my heart now? There it is. Yeah. So that you're in the pattern, you're stuck behind your pattern, so to speak. So it is true. You have your reality, I seem to have my reality, and then there's the greater reality. So go with that for now. But I'm not going to let you for long. I mean, you're going to struggle. You're going to have to struggle against what we'll be doing. You're actually going to have to fight against these practices that we're doing to maintain that disposition. And maybe you'll manage to hold out for the weekend, but you'll be exhausted. I could tell you now, you'll be exhausted. By the end of tomorrow, by 10 o'clock tomorrow, you are going to be just, you're going to like leave here and just go, because of this the intense struggle you will have to do to maintain the shell of protection. Okay. We're going to move right into a sequence of exercises. Before we do that, since you seem to be in a somber mood, I'll check to see if it's my imagination or not. Are there any questions or comments left over from yesterday that you need to express or ask before we begin with exercises today?
I haven't found a woman that inspires me to make the kind of commitment that you were talking about.
You always attract what you're putting out. So if you're waiting to be inspired before you'll put out your gift, then everyone's waiting, because the woman who would inspire you is waiting to feel a man who's putting out his gift so they could give their inspiration to. I mean, if you're like, you know, holding back, that it's not going to incite their desire to evoke your inspiration. You know? Now, I understand what you're saying. You don't even want to commit in a relationship with somebody where that flows between the two of you, sure, of course. But the capacity to offer that depth of consciousness all the time is essential, or you won't attract that kind of woman. So that's why in these practices, you should go for it all the way as a practice. You know, you're just partner after partner. It's totally non-personal. You're just practicing the skill of giving your deepest gift, of giving your consciousness, of giving your presence. Because if you don't do that, you're holding back. And everyone can feel that. Everyone in this room can feel that. Every woman who passes you can feel that. Your children can feel that. You're taking what could be wide open love and you're kinking it in the pattern that you're attending to of yourself. Or you can just wide open, and then everything around you is as it is, which is wide open. And women, are you in a relationship now? So, you know what, it's like, a woman's walking down the street, okay? Now, her body, remember, just from the feeling, you're in a man's body, so it doesn't feel this way. But the feeling is, you are here to be entered. Pretty foreign, huh? I mean, actually feel like, so here's this woman walking down the street. And now she is basically feeling, I want to be fucked open. Now, it's not necessarily genitally. The feeling, though, in the body is, where is the one who will shred me open to infinity? I don't know, you know, there's different words. It's kind of like poetry. Nothing hits it exactly. But, you know, who will murder me wider than love? Is this... Okay, I just want to make sure. I mean, it's because it's really hard to express any of this in actual technical words. The feeling is they're longing to be filled so fully that they're forced open beyond themselves, because they know there's an intuition in their body, in their mind, in their heart, that they are light, that they are as big as the universe, that they flow with the force of the universe. But until they're met by an equal consciousness, there's a, you know, I can't. I'm not seen, basically, is the feeling. I'm not seen for the light I am, and all they do is need to be seen actually for who they are, which is light. Now, often by the time they're this age, they've spent so many years not being seen as light, they themselves don't even know, feel that they're light, so they need to be, like, be, you know, look at this light. This is who you are. And they're going, no, I'm not. I'm horrible. You know, and you gotta, you know, so you have to show them that they're light. But once they realize that you see that they are light, that what they are is love, light, love light, that that's what they are, all the rest, the weather patterns, the complaining, the emotions, the body, all of those are just aspects of love light. And if you can stay in that vision, feeling, vision of feeling and seeing them as love light, they are forced to be what they are, which is love light. They're forced to be it. Again, in the second stage, forcing people is like, well, you know, I have my business, you have your business, you know. But in the third stage, you realize they're waiting to be opened as light. It's a gift to them. It's not, you're not like being a bad person, you know, intervening in their life, and they're responsible for themselves anyways, and you can't do anything for them. Fuck that. That's total second stage truth, third stage bullshit. Third stage truth is, you can open any woman as God by recognizing her as love light so persistently that she has no choice but to go, and open as she is. And she's been waiting for that all of her life. Yes or no? Okay. See? So now I'm a man. I'm sitting on your side of the camp when it comes to this play in my real life. But through practice, I can feel what it is to be a woman, and you need to do the same thing so you can feel what you need to give them to open as love light. The only way for you to get beyond what you call your emasculation, which I wouldn't use those words myself. I don't feel you're emasculate. I just feel that you're ignorant, basically, is to feel, you know, in a basic sense of the word, is to wear their body. You know, you are consciousness. That's your home. You are not, you know, that your home is not the radiance, the emanation of love and emotion and feeling. You're just, you know. And that's fine, because that's what I'm, you know, I'm there with you. Now, I animate my voice and my body and so forth, so this half of the room doesn't get bored shitless. If they weren't here, I'd be going, you are consciousness. And you'd go, recognize that as everything happens, you are the witness behind it. And we would just sit here in the silence of consciousness. This is beautiful, isn't it? It's totally beautiful. I mean, we would just rest here. Now, the trouble is, this is masculine spiritual practice. It works beautifully for the masculine. It is masculine bliss. If we were to just live in, like, in a little monastery, this half of the room, we could just do this all the time. Look, you're happier now than you've been all your life. Just, you know, just resting in the bliss of consciousness, you know? That's sufficient. It is not sufficient for that side of the room. So your choice is to stay on this side of the room the rest of your life and then be in this bliss of consciousness, which is real and valid and true. It's undeniably real and valid and true. It just happens to be the masculine expression of divinity. So it's home for the masculine. It is not home for the feminine. The feminine gets real frustrated and angry real fast if all you're doing is this. I'll just keep doing it. We'll see how long it takes. Now, this is happening all of the time because you are doing this. See, now, when I said ignorant, what the feeling is, you're here, and then you kind of look over there, and your dick goes, there's a few in there I'd like to fuck, and then your heart goes, hey, I could probably be in a few relationships with them, and then they go, ring, ring, and you go, vzz. Now, what I call ignorance... What I call, you know, in referring to what you and the rest of us do, is not realizing that they actually want this fucking them.
Yeah.
They want the same thing you want, but they don't want it out of the body. They want it through the body, through the emotions, through everything, through the way you touch them, the tone of your voice, the way you dance with them, the way you look at them, the way you fuck them all together, not just sexually, you know, like your life. Yes? Okay, so all you were unaware of was the fact that this thing that you can rest in very well with me, you can rest in with her, it just takes a kind of courage to fuck her with it, and then she feels it. You're resting in the same consciousness, but instead of resting in the part of it, you're resting in that part of it. But you gotta do it to do it. Knowing how to do it is like the masculine thing, you know, like again, we would sit here and I'd go, you know, do you get it? And you go, yeah. And the rest of the women would just be going, come on, let's do something! That you're I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about animating it in your body right now. Like when you're talking to me, what I feel is that you understand what I'm saying, but you're not breathing it. I could feel that you're not breathing it. You're not breathing like a big dick right now. You're not breathing fuck right now. It's a habit. So the recognition of it, see, the first thing is you get it in your mind, then you get it in your emotions. The last to change is the body. It's the thickest part of the spectrum of your body-mind. So usually people are enlightened way before they can fuck enlightened. Because the body's the last part to be permeated by love. The first part is, you know, any idiot could understand that they are love, that they are the witness, whatever. I mean, all you have to do is like say, who's the one behind everything happening? Who's the one behind the thoughts? You know, blah, 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 blah. And anybody can just go, oh, okay, got it. That's like, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but it doesn't count for much because your body and mind are still going, you know, you're, go home, fucking monkeys and, you know, hiding money in the things and lying about everything. So the recognition that you are consciousness, or the recognition that I am love, is great. The emotional capacity to express that comes next. So like we started a little of that yesterday, a lot more into that. And then the bodily capacity to express that continuously takes the longest in time to kind of get in because the body's thicker. You know, the mind is a fluctuation that's very subtle compared to the body, which is a fluctuation that's very fleshy. And yeah, that's where the feminine lives, in the fleshy dimension of the vibrational spectrum. So unless consciousness is fucking through this, I recognize I'm consciousness, doesn't mean shit. The same recognition through the body means everything. See, now notice how deeply are you breathing now? You're doing this. This is what you look like. I'm exaggerating to kind of just show you. It's like, women aren't going to go, yeah, that one can fuck me open. So, I mean, just let your body be like alive with consciousness. Just relax. It doesn't have to move much. It just has to, there's a tone to the body when it's open. Just relax, open. Fuck the air with your body. Like imagine your body's a penis and you're like bonk, filling the space with your body. Just try that. Oh, that's better right there. Just be full. Now at first it'll be kind of clunky, but it's better clunky than wimp. Can you feel a little difference in your body? Well, to practice in that direction consistently will attract you a woman who can feel that consciousness is coming through your body, and that's what she wants. That's enough for now on that. Okay? Anything from the ladies' side?
I find that all of this stuff you are saying is scaring me.
Yeah, you're going to be terrified today. You're alive still, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's hurt you? Yeah? So far, so good? If you are practicing well, you are going to be absolutely terrified because you will come to the edge, and everyone's got a different edge, of where you're still holding, where you're protecting yourself. And you're protecting yourself because you're afraid to be hurt. And that fear is the texture of the holding. So if you actually allow yourself to feel, it's always there. I'm just creating situations for you to feel what's always there. You're going to feel that you live on the basis of absolute terror. That's a good thing to feel. It's not a comfortable thing to feel. Now, can you be love as you feel that fear? So in specific, like if you're doing a looking exercise into the left eye like we were doing last night, so you're feeling terror, fine. That's neither good nor bad. That's probably good, that shows that you're at your edge. Can you look into that eye and feel the heart of your partner while you're terrified? Just practice doing that. The terror will probably get worse, to be honest. But your capacity to love in the midst of it will grow deeper. And that's what really counts. That's your depth as a person, as a woman, your capacity to love in the midst of everything, as everything. You will actually be learning to love as terror. It's like doing a terror dance. I'm terrified. And in the midst of the terror dance, totally feeling from your heart into your partner's heart. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, knowing what I'm saying and being able to do it are two different things, but just to be able to practice that. So it's fine to be terrified. It's fine to be in the middle of an exercise and find yourself frozen in terror and just do as much of the exercise as you can. So if I'm saying feel the heart of your partner, feel the heart of your partner as much as you can. Just practice love in the midst of it. And anytime you feel you just can't do it, if you really need to, just like raise your hand, tell an assistant that you just can't continue, sit down on the side of the room and rest, and an assistant can take your place. And if you want to sit out and exercise, you can. It'd be your loss, of course. But, you know, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you just, it's too much for you to handle in the moment. You need to honor that in yourself. I'm suggesting you try to go a little bit beyond that, but you'll know when it's really too much and when it's just feels like too much and you could keep going. So, you know, you're welcome to take time out if you need to at any time. Anyone is.